În seara aceasta voi continua seria de mesaje din dezvoltarea caracterului creștin. And for beginning, I would like to review, because it's been several months since we started, and I would like to review a little bit the first two messages. So the first message was defining Christian character. And we said that character, the word character, comes from the Greek word character that means enduring mark. And we were talking about money. Back in the day, they had a mark on it. If you remember Jesus, when he was asked about paying taxes to Caesar, he took a coin and he said, whose face, whose portrait is here, and whose inscription? And they said, it's Caesar's. And Jesus said, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And that word, character, that means enduring mark. And when we're trying to define our character, we said, our character, our Christian character, means to have the mark of Christ, the mark of Christ in our lives. And for that, to have the mark of Christ means you are 100% dedicated to Christ. You surrender totally to Christ. And this is what Jesus asked from us. If you remember, when I preached that message, we talked about the rich young ruler who asked Jesus, what can I do to be saved? What can I do to go to heaven? And Jesus said, you know, follow the law. He said, I did all of that. And when Jesus told him, sell everything you have and come and follow me, he said, sorry, I cannot do that. Because his mark, his character, the enduring mark that was on his character was money. His God was money, not Jesus Christ. In the second message, we looked at the facilitators, things that help us develop Christian character, and also hindrances, things that stay in our way. And we said the biggest facilitator is the fact that we were created in the image of God. Okay, in Genesis says, let's make man in our image. And we were created in the image of God. And what does that mean? It means that we have the characteristics of God. All of the characteristics of God except those omni. We're not omnipotent. We are not omniscient. Because we have all the other characteristics. We can love. We want relationships. We have compassion. We have empathy. We have all the other characteristics of God. But when Adam sinned and he disobeyed God, he brought us all down, and we fell into what we call the sinful nature, the flesh. Firea noastră pământească în românește. And because of that, we lost that relationship with God. And not only that, when we are driven by our flesh, by our sinful nature, we try to solve our problems on our own. We are not looking to God for help. We try to solve our problems on our own. And we try to replace God. But God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, God had a plan to restore that image in us. Sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And when we believe in what he did for us, the Holy Spirit comes in us and produces what we call nașterea din nou. We're born again. We're renewed. The image of God is being restored in us through the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight, we're going to look at... So this was the short review. Tonight, we're going to look at the manifestation. Once I was renewed by Christ, how does that Christian character manifest in me? How do I show that Christian character to the people around me? And we're going to look at Mark 12, verses 28 through 30. So if you have your Bibles, please open to Mark 12, verses 28 through 30. And the Word of God says the following. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus has given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Amen. So tonight, we're going to look at this first manifestation. Love your God. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. But first, let's define love in the context that God uses love. Because what we understand through love too many times is so far from God's definition of love. First of all, the love that God sees is an action. It's not a feeling. It's not something that we fall in and out of. It's an action. It's a commitment we make. It's a promise that is never broken. If we look in John 3:16, the word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." That's the action. "He gave his only begotten Son so that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Love is an action. It's about giving. So what does it mean for us to love God? We give ourselves to him. We sacrifice ourselves to him. Just like God gave his Son, we're expected to give something. It's not, "Oh, today I feel like loving you. You know, God, you helped me today, so I'll love you." No, it's an action. It's a decision. It's a commitment we make. We have to make sure we have the right definition of love. Now, what is the source of that love? The Bible says the source of love is God, because God is love. That's one of his characteristics, one of his enduring characteristics. And the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. And when he loved us, he made that change in our heart. He poured his love. He renewed us. And that renewal impels us, pushes us, makes us love just like he loves. And since we're created in his image, we can love just like he loves. And since we are renewed and we are his sons and daughters, we have that unlimited, the infinite resource of love at our disposal. And who's that infinite resource of love? It's God. God is our source of love because we are his sons and daughters. And the Holy Spirit, what's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22? The first fruit is love. The Holy Spirit makes love in us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And for the rest of the message, I'll look in very succinct and short way to what it means to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. First, the word says, love God with all your heart. Why the heart? Because if we look in Isaiah 29:13, the word of God says the following: "These people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." God wants our hearts. He doesn't want our words. He doesn't want our rituals. He wants our hearts. Why does he want our hearts? Because the heart is the command center of our body. That's where we make decisions. That's where we make plans. And God wants to have control of that center of command. Okay? Heart is where our feelings are. The emotions, the desires, the passions. God wants our heart. And when we worship him, he doesn't want him, you know, our worship just to come from our lips. He wants to come from our hearts. Remember when Jesus was talking about what makes somebody unclean? He said, not what goes in makes somebody unclean, but what comes out. Because it comes from the heart. And also Jesus said that your heart betrays you. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And if you remember, the young ruler said, you know, this is too much. I cannot give up my wealth. Okay, and whatever else you have as your God, now whatever else has control of that heart of yours. Okay, if God asks you, give it up for me, are you willing to give it up for him? Because he wants you to love him with all your heart. There are no ifs, no buts, it's all your heart. Then God wants you to love him with all your soul. And what's our soul? It's that breath of life, that at creation, God breathed into Adam's nostrils. He gave us life. It's that will that determines our conduct. And the perfect example for somebody who worships God with all his soul is Apostle Paul. If you look in Philippians 3:13 says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He was talking about his crown. But he says, but one thing I do. One thing I do. Whatever else it's out there, there's only one thing for me. Forget everything that's behind me. I run forward. I will run towards Christ. And that's very important, to have that determination. Okay, single-minded determination. What's more important for me? God's will to be done in my life. What's more important for me? God's plan to take root in my life. Not my plans, not my will, but God's will. And that means loving the Lord, loving God with all your soul. That single determination. I want to make God's will. I want to fulfill God's will in my life. Next, love God with all your mind. And this is where sometimes we fail, because we say we have no use for mind. But God wants us to love him with our intelligence, with our ration. Our minds need to be transformed. According to Apostle Paul in Romans 12:2, he says, not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. What pattern of thinking are you using when you're making decisions? Do you realize that you actually live in two kingdoms? In God's kingdom and here in America. How do you make your decisions about everything in your life? Do you think according to the world? Do you follow the pattern of thinking that the world has? Let me give you an example. I'm a teacher, so I'm going to use examples from my career, everyday life. I have so many students who don't think that cheating is wrong. As long as they don't get caught, it's fine. And that's our society that we live in. For them, it's just fine to copy somebody else's homework because they think we, the teachers, are dumb and we don't know anything. But actually, we know more than they think they do. And it's funny when I read the homework for one class and grade it to see like two or three patterns. And everybody, you know, in this group makes the same mistake, everybody in this group makes the same mistake, and everybody in this group makes the same mistake. And then you have the ones who cannot read cursive writing, and they make up words when they copy that. But they think that's normal. That's the way, you know, this world works. We can cheat, and if we get to the top by cheating, that's fine. But is that the mindset that a Christian should have? Is that the mindset that I should have, that you should have? We need to love God with all our mind. And how do we do that? We need to know the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to apply it to our life. And if you remember, when we started the English sermons again like 2 years ago, what did we start with? What was our series? About the Word of God. Basing everything on the Word of God. Do you want to love God with all your mind? Get the Word of God in your mind and then apply that to every aspect of your life. When you have to make decision, use that renewed mind, that transform mind, not the way of thinking of this world, but the one that God gave you when he renewed your mind. And lastly, Jesus says, love God with all your strength. Now, strength refers to all your physical capacities, all your possessions, all your talents, all your gifts. And we're going to look at the widow in Mark 12, 41 to 44. We're going to look at the widow, and the Bible says, the widow put two very small copper coins in the treasury at the temple. Two very small coins. But according to Jesus, her gift was more than somebody who just threw, you know, $1 million in there. Her two small copper coins were more than $1 million. Why? Because she gave to God everything she had to live on. That's what God expects. He doesn't want your tithe, your 10%. No, he wants everything. Because we get everything from him. One of the assignments for one of my classes for my master's, we're talking about fund development, raising funds for Christian schools. And the first assignment was figure out who everything belongs to. And we figure out everything belongs to God. And he just entrusts us with certain things so we can use them for his glory. And that's very important. Are you going to use your possessions? Are you going to use your talents to help God? Let's say you're a really good soccer player. Use that talent, but are you going to use that talent to bring glory to God? Okay, one of the things that we talk about are the seven mountains of society. How, as Christians, we're supposed to influence different aspects of society. If you're good with media, for example, do you think that media could use you, could use your help to make it wholesome, to use it for God's glory? Okay. If you're a good teacher, do you think that God could use that? If you're a good mechanic, if you're a good accountant, if you think that you can become a senator or a representative, or why not, the president of the United States, do you think that God could use that? Yes, because he expects you to give everything. If you give everything to him, all your talents, he's going to use it for his glory. And that's what we are expected to do. Love God with all your strength. And now in conclusion, we keep on talking of revival. We're praying for change, for revival. But are you willing to pay the price for that revival? Are you willing to give everything to God? Are you willing to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Are you ready to say, Jesus, here it is. Here's my money. Here's my talents. Here are my feelings, my emotions, my desires, my passions. I lay everything at the cross. Because to love God in this matter means to sacrifice yourself. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you ready to die to self? Because that's what it means. We all want Christian character. We all want to, you know, God to use us in great ways. But are we willing to pay the price? Are you willing to put everything you have at God's disposal and say, God, use it? Or are you going to put your, oh, I need to have a career first. I need to save some money. I need to do this or that. God expects you to give it all. Everything. Everything. And when you do that, he's going to start working. May God help us all. Amen.